Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I think there's only kind of one incident that we need to talk about, and that is a shot spotter alert that led to you guys finding and arresting somebody for shooting at a vehicle or something like this. What happened here?
Yeah, there was a disturbance, and a female took a gun and shot the tire of the vehicle that was there on site, and it set off shot spotter. Officers arrived and found the shell casing in the roadway, and during the investigation, found out who was responsible for that. They were able to recover the weapon from inside the home that was stuffed in a freezer. So, we're glad that nobody was hurt on that situation, but a funny thing about this individual, while they were questioning her, she asked them if she could finish her beer that was sitting close, and they told her she couldn't do that. And then she asked them if she could smoke a marijuana cigarette that was within arm's reach as well, and they denied that also. So, I think that obviously her decision-making was poor that day. She was probably on one or more substances when it happened.
So she hid it in the freezer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. And do we know why she shot the tire out?
That she was involved in a disturbance with people that were in the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
We're just obviously glad that she didn't shoot at anybody in the car.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Strange case, strange requests while you're talking to the cops, but also quick action by law enforcement prevented it from becoming a cold case.
Yeah, that's true. And once again, shot spotter.
No, you're not going to laugh? Not even a little bit at the freezer gun?
No, I got it. I got it. I just had to walk around it real quick.
I appreciate you, brother. All right, let's... We got gradually even more serious things to talk about, so I apologize for joking. You know I do, though. I every once in a while, I have heard cops sometimes tell jokes, too, but it's a rumor. We had a horrible story come out of Pensacola last year where we had this case of somebody had made basically pornography of a minor with AI, and then that got distributed to people by, as I recall, the person's girlfriend or something at the time. That person wound up getting charged. The originator, the manufacturer, so to speak, could not be charged under the current law. But that law is being revised in Tallahassee. And PPD has been, you've been talked about this a lot, but, that's a law that's coming in direct response to a PPD case, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a loophole in the law. If it's illegal to distribute these photos, it probably should be illegal to make them in the first place. And, that's the loophole. So hopefully if this legislation goes through, then that will be taken care of, and we will have the teeth that we need to prosecute these cases.
There was also a and we'll wait obviously to see that come all the way through, but certainly, I mean, it's crazy to me that that's an existing loophole in the law. Supreme Court recently ruled on the matter of ghost guns, ghost gun parts, essentially saying that, yes, it is okay to have prohibitions on some of these things. Ultimately, the goal being to have serial numbers on the primary parts of a gun. But I was curious because I'm always wondering about the significance of these things. Gun control advocates want to act as though so-called ghost guns or manufactured guns or whatever are a huge problem. Other folks want to say that there's not much. I just don't know. From your perspective in the PPD, how common is it to encounter guns that were either manufactured or made without serial numbers? I don't mean the ones where people scratch them off. That's a whole different issue. But is that a common thing, uncommon thing?
It happens, but it's not very common.
Okay.
What we see more is defaced firearms.
Sure. Which is the sort of the old-fashioned way to do it is you have the gun and then you scratch off the VIN number, so to speak, or the serial number, so to speak. Okay. I was just curious because I didn't know the significance of it. I hate to have to talk about this with you, but I know you guys hate to have to think about these things. We had a deputy in Walton County yesterday killed in a just bizarre, horrible, very ordinary kind of incident. I will talk with you about that in just a second. I know your department and your folks have been talking about this a lot internally because that's what you do. Mike, when a close enough partner agency like the Walton County Sheriff's Office loses a deputy, especially in a case like this, I have to assume that it affects everybody in your agency.
Yeah, it does. Our hearts are heavy this morning. Our thoughts are certainly with Deputy William May and his family and the men and women of the Walton County Sheriff's Office. This is a tragedy. And, you know, it happens a lot. And you just never know on these situations where something minor, you're there for a minor reason. And I believe this was a trespassing call. You never know what could happen. And it was just a couple of summers ago when we had a Pensacola police officer investigating a very minor hit and run crash. It was a traffic officer, approached this individual and, was going to ask him about his side of the story, and it turned tragic. And the officer had to protect his weapon during a fight that ensued and ended up shooting this individual. So, all he was going to get was maybe a traffic ticket or a notice to appear. That's it. And the officer would have turned around and left.
And, of course, that's what Sheriff Atkinson said about this case. It wasn't an arrest. It wasn't, you know, there was no priors, as far as I know, anything like that. And just, you know, talk to him for 10 or 15 seconds. They're walking out the store. They get outside the store, and he decides to pull a gun out and shoot the deputy. It's just, it's unbelievable. And, of course, I've been talking about all morning how common this is, how, you know, level of escalation, level of force, you know, trespassing someone who's cooperative doesn't normally involve frisking them or handcuffing them, right? I mean, just this is a very – you're never trying to overuse force because you can cause a problem just by the way you respond, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've been accused before of being overly aggressive and there's too many officers on the scene and why did – three officers come on this traffic stop for me running a stop sign. It's because we're trying to be careful. We're always going to have an individual maybe walk outside the store in front of us. We're not going to let them walk behind us. We are trained to do things like that to keep an eye on them no matter what the situation is. Even when we're taking a theft report, you just never know when things can go bad. So we don't mean to be overly aggressive, but that's just the way we are trained. We've got to keep our eyes on everybody. And hopefully try to prevent things like this. But the truth of the matter is things like this are going to happen. It's part of being in law enforcement. It's a risk that you're willing to take every day, every time you put the uniform on.
And, of course, that's why I'm so appreciative of what you guys do, you know, what all law enforcement agents do for us. Of course, you know, the military, same. I mean, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, anyway, it's a absolutely baffling, frustrating, infuriating tragedy that a relatively young dad and husband is gone for no good reason, and we don't even know. You know, maybe he stopped a mass shooting. Maybe we don't know. Maybe that's why was this guy there in the first place. We don't know. I did want to ask you. You know, we always like to end on either a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with this subject. You know, you see on television all the time when the officer wears a bulletproof vest, he'll take 6 or 8 rounds to the chest and just get up and brush off and smile and everything's fine. And that's just not true. In fact, over the past 10 years, 28% of officers killed while wearing body armor were killed by rounds hitting unprotected areas of the torso. The body armor protects a lot, but it's not completely foolproof. There are gaps. There have been situations where a round might strike the trauma plate, and depending on the angle that it's fired, it could go up and hit the officer in the throat or the chin area. So the vests are they do their job most of the time, but there are some times when the caliber of the bullet is too much for the vest or a round is able to get in an unprotected place. So, you know, even if it does hit the vest and it does stop it, it's equivalent. The best way I can put it is if you were to take a baseball bat and swing it as hard as you can and hit a person in the chest with that bat, in the vest with that bat, that's what it feels like. You're going to have some broken ribs. There's going to be some damage, but you're certainly not going to get up and brush it off and smile and walk away like you see on television.
So the getting knocked down, getting heavily bruised, getting concussed basically in your body, I mean, those are all very common byproducts of getting shot in a vest. And, you know, just suddenly, oh, look, everything's fine. That's very unrealistic. And as you say, it's got, you know, there are ways, I mean, the thing doesn't protect everywhere. And, you know, especially if, you know, somebody was falling or at an angle or through the armhole or something like that, you know, terrible things can still happen, as you said, right?
Absolutely. There's just unprotected parts of the body. The officer's head is one of those parts. And, right. You know, we've seen officers sitting in vehicles, just sitting at a stoplight being shot. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we've got. We're very glad that we have the protective armor. It gets better and better every year. But there's sometimes, unfortunately, things like this are going to happen.
Yeah, very, very unfortunately. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for your folks keeping us safe. Thanks for keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week. And please, I know you do, and I know this community is incredibly supportive of law enforcement, but you know, every chance you get, please, you know, convey our appreciation to your folks, because you know, we do. I mean, we really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Just pray for Walton County.